Epistle appointed to be read for this, for the 10th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, you know that when you were Gentiles, you went to dumb idols according as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God says anathema to Jesus. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of workings, but the same God, who works all things in all. Now, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone for profit. To one, through the Spirit, is given the utterance of wisdom, and to another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith in the same Spirit. To another, the gift of healing in the one Spirit. To another, the workings of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the distinguishing of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But all these things are the work of the one and the same Spirit, who allots to everyone according as he will. And the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable also to those who trusted in themselves as being just and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and began to pray thus within himself, O God, I thank thee that I am not like the rest of men, robbers, dishonest, adulterers, or even like this publican. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I possess. But the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes to heaven, but kept striking his breast, saying, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went back to his home justified, rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, the first thing this morning I want to encourage you and point out to you the little exhortation that is in today's bulletin about emotional maturity. This is the second part of this two-part series that I think we all really and truly need not just to read, but to digest, to see what it is trying to say and to see how it fits in every one of our lives as we proceed through life. As for the rest, there is nothing except, of course, that Tuesday of this week is a holy day of obligation. It is a feast of the Assumption of Our Blessed Mother. It's clearly understood for us in the observance of the holy day that for a great number of us, It is completely impossible for us to attend Mass on such a day. That is understood. And the present circumstances are what caused this to take place. As I have so often said to you, that your coming here has to be a matter of faith. And that everything that we do here has to be motivated, done, because of our faith. And if we come here to this place simply because we prefer that which is done here over that which is done elsewhere, and that we are fulfilling a duty, an obligation, my beloved people, I fear that in such a state of mind, that which we do might well be of poor value, if any. Therefore, I beg you, please, to everyone who comes here, to examine faith, to examine the quality of faith. And the reason why I'm saying that, speaking of this, is to bring to our attention that Tuesday is an important day, a very important day. It is the feast, the remembrance of, the recollection of, the assumption of the body of our Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother, into heaven. And as I said earlier, some of us simply cannot attend Mass on that day. Now, the faith part. As we have said, and we have urged and promoted, the construction in our own homes, in our little homes, in our own little rooms, wherever, the construction of a tiny little home chapel, monastic home chapel. Not that we're trying to make a monastery, that's just, it's just a term that I like to insert. But a home chapel where you, those of us who cannot participate in the holy sacrifice of the Mass on such a day as that, and even sometimes on Sunday, that we can feel free, knowing that there is in heaven an all-seeing and an all-knowing and an all-understanding God, and that in the absence of anything better, He will take the gift that we have to give Him from that tiny little place, a corner, a nook, a table, any place at all that we can go to and say, my God, this is the best I've got. This is the best place that I can go to. Please accept my love. Please accept my gift. Let not anybody be guilty of saying that God will turn that down. Therefore, that being the case, on Tuesday, those of you who cannot attend Mass, go to your little chapel. Go to the Blessed Mother, who is there in that little chapel, and spend time with her, spend time with God, at that place. Say your prayer with devotion, attention, with dignity, with understanding, with abandonment, with love. Give to the Blessed Mother her due, not as an obligation. If you go there because you know, or because you think, or because you feel, I must go there in order to do this, in order to be able to feel that I've done what I'm supposed to be doing, if that's the way we feel, it would be far better for us not to go there at all. If we go there, it has to be prompted. It has to be promoted. It has to be motivated entirely because of a burning love that is in us. And it is that love that is in us that will pick us up and bring us and place us to the place where we are supposed to be. If anybody feels that he has to reject that, then so be it. So Tuesday, please spend time with the Blessed Mother. I suggest, as always, that we spend about an hour. Read your Mass prayers, say your rosary, do whatever your heart tells you to do. But when you leave there, be certain that first of all, our Lord Jesus Christ, and secondly, His Blessed Mother Mary, both of them, know without a shadow of a doubt that you love them. So much for that. Today, the gospel, two men went up to the temple to pray. I simply cannot avoid my feeling to spend time with these two men. It's impossible. I can't leave them alone. I have to be with them today. I can't speak at length. I apologize if last week I was a little bit lengthy. I heard about it. If you didn't tell me, others did. And so I will try to be as brief as possible concerning these two gentlemen who went up to the temple to pray. Of course, this is a parable. No question about it. And our Lord made use of parables to instruct those of His day and those of our day who simply have a hard time understanding. He had to use stories in order to get their attention. And for those who did not, and who could understand rather, who did not need parables, he got to the point immediately. But you see, he was standing about today, and he was witnessing those with motivations that were simply not as they should be. And he spoke with a for instance. Of course, for instances are what they are called, for instances. They are parables. Of course, we know that. And direct names are not mentioned. They're stories. But like everything else that our Lord did after He talked about the poor Pharisee who went up there and painted a pretty nice picture of himself in his own estimation. And the poor little publican, the publicans now were a very despised group of people, of men. They were the tax collectors. They collected tax from the Jews, and they gave for the purposes of giving the tax money to the Romans, who were in charge. They were not liked people, looked down. Our Lord always liked to pick out the ones that were on the lowest part of the ladder. In this parable, he may have been perhaps beating around the bush, as we would call it, in his for instance. But when the for instance was over, as he always did, he came down razor sharp. He got to the point instantaneously and with the few words. For him, or them who have ears to hear. And all the parable, story or not, for instance or not, makes little difference. The force exploded. And he said, this one went home justified. The other one did not. How much clearer than that could he be? And so it is with us. I spoke of faith a moment ago. My beloved people, some of you have said, why are you, however they put it, I don't know, I can't quote it exactly. It seems that you lately have been hammering something. Perhaps I have. The uncertainty of all that is around us, economically, socially, politically, culturally, educationally, spiritually, everything is in a state of complete upheaval. We do not know from one moment to the next what is going to happen. And not only that, my beloved people, as we see things progress, and we've said this, I use a term that is oftentimes heard today, that, again, going politically, economically, culturally, education, whatever. I use a term, and I certainly want to put at the bottom of this, but underline it 100 times in its importance. Everything has been dumbed down. Has been brought into the reaches of the lowest motivated brothers and sisters of the human race. How much further down can they be dumbed? I don't know. And I can't predict. But it is our faith. That's why I insist, my beloved people, I have to insist. It's not because of me that we believe. I and those of us that are here and the holy sisters that you see there, we're all, every one of us, on the same boat. And it is a matter of every one of us, be he monk or nun or layperson or anybody. Every one of us is bound, if we have any common sense whatsoever, to save our immortal souls. And whereas I said that everything is dumbed down today, we are now at a point where just about anybody, pops up. They pop up like mushrooms overnight. And they teach. And information, not knowledge, but information gathered hither and yon by, as I used the term last week, by amateurish hands. Information is picked up and is presented as truth. And we have information that comes to us from the right of us. And we have information that comes to us from the left of us. And what are we to do? Because the information to the right and the information to the left are at war with each other. And can we accept from both the right and the left what we must believe? As we've said before, we cannot teach it both ways. It can only be taught as best we can and as best as we are able and as conscientious as we can be and as conscientious as we are able under the circumstances of the moment. They're dreadful circumstances for you and for your beloved children and grandchildren and mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and uncles and aunts and whoever. Somehow, we've got to know where the middle is. And somehow, we've got to live in that middle with prudence, with common sense, with sincerity, with honesty, with love. And that's where we have to stay. And let us not allow all that comes to us today. Remember that information today is every place. And everybody, children of 6 and 7 years of age, can today tell you how many seeds are to be found in a tomato. And trivia, whether it's economically, culturally, politically, whatever, spiritually, as far as we're concerned, comes to us in bags full of sawdust. But information, my beloved people, is not knowledge. And we have to seek after knowledge. We have to seek after the truth. And once we have found that truth, we cannot play around with all of the trivia that is thrown at us by people whose motivations I am not at liberty to speak of. So, I promised I would be brief today because I want to be able to live a happy week this coming week. So, with that, let's pray for the Pharisee, wherever he is, and whoever he is. Let us pray for the poor publican. How many of us, who is it that can come in here and say with safety, I thank thee, God, that I am better than the rest of men? You do well, my beloved people. I do even better than that. If I can just stick my head in the door and cry out, please God, overlook what I have done. Please God. Please, God. May God bless us and fill us with the graces that we need to be able to fall on our knees and tell him, remind him, bring to his attention to please forget what we have done.